Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over two decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood. Looks like I'm going to have to do most of the talking today.
Well, we'll see. I'm a little hoarse.
Joe's losing his voice.
Oh.
Yeah.
I started thinking, what happens this weekend when he can't preach?
Oh, I'm going to preach.
He could stand there and do the face and actions, and I could read it. In Matthew.
Is that how I preach? No, I think I'm going to be okay.
You're a little bit more conversational than that, but you sound kind of rough.
It's that time of year where the allergies, the weather's changing, and you know, and I deal with these seasonal allergies a little bit, and I never really know they're going to hit me. Sometimes it's always about twice a year I get hit with that allergy congestion, you know, that kind of stuff that takes a few days to get through. And then there was one time I absolutely lost my voice completely a couple years ago.
That was such a blessing.
Whatever.
Actually, I don't even remember it.
No, it was tough.
I don't even remember.
And this kind of feels like that again. Like something, I've been sneezing for 3 weeks straight. I sneeze like 50 times a day. And so I don't know. I mean, today I woke up. Well, last night I could tell that it was a little, but it's not like I'm sick or anything. It's just I can tell like the allergy. So I can feel my voice and all the strength. But anyway.
You've got the sniffles.
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe it's from the celebration over the weekend.
The celebration over the weekend was awesome.
Yeah,
it's just being out in that field for a day or so.
You got a little allergies from all the dust stir up from everything.
In case any of you don't know what we're referring to, is our church here at New Life celebrated 50 years of ministry on Sunday. It was our 50th anniversary. And we had one service out of the park. And it was fantastic. And we're just
a lot of fun.
I got totally sunburned. I got cooked to a crisp. I did not think, you know, I told people I prayed and asked God for sunshine and a great day, and He gave us that. And I should have prayed for a little cloud cover. That was,
dude, it was so sunny. I mean, it was really nice. And it was funny to me when I showed up and there were people actually in long sleeves. And I was like, well, that's not going to be me. I mean, if you know me, I rarely will wear a long sleeve. And it was not quite cool enough to wear long sleeves. But there were people wearing long sleeves thinking it was going to be cool. Even Joe had long sleeves.
Believe it or not, I had a little like a shirt that I threw on over my t-shirt.
And how long did that last?
About the walk from the car to the front of the stage. Like, I'm peeling this.
It did not last. He thought, oh, I got this shirt. I'll preach in this. It didn't last till even 8 a.m., I don't think.
So the event came off just fine as far as did we accomplish all the goals that we set out to accomplish? I would say yes. You know, we had a great worship service. I think our team did a great job, you know, getting the stage out there. I think the stage was very well done. I thought the worship was well done. You know, one of our goals was to make sure everybody could hear it. And, you know, I think for the most part they could. I heard a little bit of feedback. If you're way back where the canopies were, it was a little bit awkward trying to sing because of the delay a little bit and reverb. But, you know, that went really good. And the tailgating was great. Our guests that we invited to come were all there, and that was a very special part of our service. I liked walking down through the history of the church, got good feedback
people
from
enjoyed
folks.
Enjoyed that. They appreciated
that rundown of history. And ultimately, I think God got all the glory for it. I'm happy with that part. You know, I think the tailgating was a lot of fun. I know that quite a few people had to wait for a very long time in the food truck line, and I apologize about that. Some of that's a little bit out of our control. Well, all of that's out of our control. But, but you know, one of the food trucks wasn't able to make it, so we were down, and they ran out of coffee really early.
Well, I think our biggest problem, if we can say there was a problem, there wasn't really any problems, but people were thirsty. It was way warmer and sunnier, and I know even for the three of us, we didn't bring enough to drink, and so we were thirsty. And so a little funny story, little under the hood story. During the service, I found out that one of the food trucks wasn't going to be able to make it.
Drink truck.
Yeah, truck had overheated and couldn't make it. So Abby was texting me, and I'm like, oh, I need to probably get some water. Do you think we should order some water? And if you live in Northwest Arkansas, a lot of us have Walmart Plus and we can get free deliveries and we're in the field, but I'm like, Walmart's going to deliver here. I just know it. So I get on my phone and I'm like, how many cases of water can I get delivered? Stat. And 12 was the max. So I'm like, click, 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 getting ready to check out. And Joe's like, Kirsten, I'd like to invite my wife to come up here on stage. And I'm like, I'm making a Walmart order. I'm like, hold on a second. And so I go up there and I smile and I'm sitting there. Okay. And he was saying some really nice things. And so then I stayed up there while he introduced some of our guests, our former pastor, Lee and Laura Lee, his wife, and Pam Carter
was there as well.
After we get done, I run back down to my chair and I sit down. I open the app and I finish the Walmart order real quick. And you know what? That Walmart order before we finished our last song was already delivered.
That's amazing.
They delivered it. I knew that they needed to deliver in the parking lot. And I saw our shuttle was up there. And so the guy had texted me, or the lady, I don't even know who it was. They're like, where would you like this delivered? I'm like, do you see the New Life shuttle? Just set it right next to the shuttle. That would be perfect. And they're like, okay. And lo and behold,
Walmart.
12 cases of Walmart, or yeah, 12 cases of Walmart, 12 cases of water showed up. And I texted Abby and said, hey, the water is here. And they set up a table. And right after that service ended, and they started handing out bottles of warm water. I mean, it wasn't even cold, but at that point,
Nobody cared. They were just so
thirsty.
Well, so I think in hindsight, you know, we've been asking that question. If we were to ever do this event again, what would we do different? And I think one of the suggestions was we should get out that big old horse trough that we got, fill it full of ice and water. That
would
have been
any more Arkansas.
That would have been a great addition.
You know, do other people do thought, that, or
man,
just
if
Arkansas?
We had that, that would have been awesome, just filled with ice and water. And I also got to thinking about those Casey's employees when we sent all those Ozark Christian College guys up the hill in the golf carts to Casey's.
They took the golf carts?
Roll in. Yes. Oh. I had told them to take
the
shuttle.
They drove those golf carts to Casey's?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I'm hearing this for the first time.
That's
this
hilarious.
Was before I connected with Kirsten and told her. I just had to tell some other people.
Yeah.
I just found out that this drink truck isn't coming. So I had told her I didn't know she was going to order. So I'd already sent those guys to Casey's. And I thought they were going to take the shuttle. They took the golf carts.
They drove them on the road?
Which is actually illegal in Bella Vista. That's hilarious.
But they got back at even before the Walmart delivery got there.
That's amazing.
So they came with water?
They came with cases of water.
Oh, wow.
As many as they could buy. I just thought, imagine that Casey's employee. Four golf cars just come up and these guys come running.
I didn't know that.
All the water in the whole store.
I did not know that till right now.
So for those of you who don't know, we had some Ozark Christian College students. Ozark Christian College is in Joplin. And we had several of their students come down and drive golf carts for us for the morning to help get people to and from the parking lot to the venue, which is across the street. But it's kind of a hike for some of the older people or people who, you know, just needed some assistance. They're carrying their lawn chairs and some of them had coolers and other stuff. And so they came down and helped us out. So it looks like they helped take a little trip over to Casey's, which is not like around the corner from this.
But can you imagine being a 20-year-old kid that came down to help us out and drive golf carts? And then you're cruising through the streets of Bella Vista in a golf cart and I'm having the time of your life.
I want to know how many dirty looks the true Bella Vistians gave them, because you're not supposed to drive golf carts on
the
street.
No, you're not.
And so I'm sure they got some really bad looks, like, oh, those kids on the golf carts.
And that's not a short little jaunt.
I know. I was communicating with Pastor
Reed. I mean, that's not like two blocks
it's
over.
Because they didn't have another vehicle.
And it's straight uphill. But I had told them to take the shuttle, and that part of the message got missed.
Oh, no.
So they just took off to Casey's.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, anyway, that's...
it was a water emergency.
I'm not sure I'm glad I know this now, because knowledge comes with responsibility.
Oh, no, this is ignorance. Maybe we should cut this out.
Ignorance.
Are we going to get in trouble?
No, ignorance is bliss, but I'm like, I didn't know that
that's
happened.
That's hilarious.
But anyway, kind of back to the event. I mean, there was a softball game afterwards, a tournament that went great. I think a lot of people had a lot of fun. And I walked around all the different tailgating places, you know, all I talked to everybody. Everybody seemed to have a really wonderful time. I think when I think about what was the biggest value in all of this, I mean, there was a lot of value in a lot of it. But I think, and I tried to point this out during the service, is that, hey, look around. This is the New Life family. Mm. And, you know, our church currently, you know, starting this weekend especially, we have 7 services over 2 days in 2 campuses. And you're never going to have a service. You're never going to be a part of a service that's going to go beyond about 300 people. And so if you come to the same service week after week, you're going to see a lot of the same people. And that's all wonderful. I mean, but the way our church is structured, you're never going to see the full body that is New Life. And what I heard over and over and over, time and time and time again, well, there are 2 things. I'll tell you the 2 things. The first one was, I had no idea our church had gotten this large.
Oh, wow.
And I heard that from so many people. And it was so good to see. The other observation people made was, when I had everybody stand up and I said, if you have come into the church in the last 5 years, sit down.
Oh, that was crazy.
I had so
cool.
many people say, I couldn't believe how many people sat down that had been here for 5 years or less.
Yeah.
And I would say it was 2/3, maybe 3/4 of the whole field sat down. And it just shows you how much increase has happened.
I got to stay
in the last
standing.
5 years. I know you did.
Did you stay standing? I can't remember how long you've been part of New Life.
Yeah, just through that first one, though. Okay. By the second one, yeah. The 10-year. Because I've been here 6 years.
Okay, we've been here.
Brock told me after church, he goes, I made it past round one.
I'm with Brock.
Yeah, I was too. I was like, okay.
But that was pretty, I mean, seeing it.
It was really a cool visual to see that. And then to see there were just few people standing up at the 20, 30, 40 mark.
That's right.
And that was really neat to see those people.
It was. And I saw it from stage. It was pretty awesome. And then we had one guest with us who was here on day one. The very first worship service this church ever had 50 years ago. We had a guest with us that was actually there. That's and that was pretty special to kind of tie it all together. And of course, having Lee and Laura Lee there, one of the former pastors, and then Pam Carter, whose husband was the pastor that I followed and a good friend of mine, and he's in heaven now. But having all of that together, and I know that while they were here this weekend, some of our folks in our church here really just loved on them and made sure that a lot of the people they knew had an opportunity to interact with them. I'm so appreciative of that. All in all, I would say it was very, very successful. Yeah. So my final thoughts are these. I'll go around and ask you what you got, because everybody on a microphone right now had a major part of this event. So here's my final thought. I thought it was fantastic. Obviously, there's a few things if I could get a do-over, I would do a little bit over. I would reassess our parking situation if I got a do-over, and did not anticipate running out of parking as quickly as we did. But our guys jumped on it. We figured it out. But I would kind of rethink the whole parking thing. And I appreciate people having grace for us for that, because we are not massive event coordinators. And this was a new venue for all of us. But my final observation is I'm so glad we did it. I think we accomplished what we set out to do, and it was a great thing to have our church family back together. What I would do differently is I'd kind of rethink the parking a little bit, and then on some of that. So, Kirsten, what's your big takeaway?
I thought it was a fantastic time. I mean, I got emotional kind of turning around and looking at who New Life was, just because, I mean, you shared the story about how I came kicking and screaming, as some people said.
This is true.
And I was telling someone the other day, if I'd known, you know, I think God just kind of laughed at me 10 years ago. So you don't know what I'm going to do here. And that was cool to turn around and see that and be like, wow,
10 Absolutely.
Years, that's cool to see what we got to be a part of in these 10 years.
It is very cool. And you know, you and I have talked about this often. I'll just piggyback on what you're saying. Had I known what was going to happen here 10 years ago, it would have not taken 7 months to convince me to come here. It was about a 7-month process.
God was like dragging us. The Lord was like, come on.
I don't know how many times I told the leaders here at New Life, I'm not interested. I'm not interested, and tried to shut that down.
And years before that too.
Well, yeah. You know, I
10 years before that.
Yeah. And I guess, you know,
when they called
something
like,
that.
No. No.
Yeah, it was, the church. Yeah. And I told all these stories at the...
Anyway, no, but my biggest takeaway was that, like, just to see how amazing what God has done, not only in our 10 years, but in 50 years, but the event was great. Everybody loved it. I have not heard anyone complain. And that's like complaining about church. I mean, there's people out there, I guess, but
offering suggestions and yeah, that's not complaining.
I've heard someone say we want to do this monthly and then other people say we should do this yearly, annually. And then I said, how about we do this every 50 years?
Well, I had a lot of people catch me just walking around visiting. It's like, hey, we should do something like this every year. And I'm like, I am not going to bring that up with the staff right now. Cause I saw all of you guys cooked, sunburned, running around.
We thought September would be safe. And you know, honestly, September
29th, we were nervous about this date.
Our anniversary. September 29th was the actual anniversary.
50 years to the day.
So we're like, well, it's September. It is the South. You never know if it's going to be cold and rainy or hot and muggy. And it was great. The weather was great. It was just a little on the warmer side. But this event was going to be rain or shine. Yeah. And had it been rain, we would not have had even half that many people.
Yeah, I have no idea. People ask me how many we had. I have no idea how many people showed up.
Just a lot. We're guessing around 1,500. Someone said 2,200. Someone else said 1,300.
I don't think it was that much.
So we're saying around 1,500. We don't know. But overall, it was a fantastic event. Everybody was happy.
You about messed me up 30 seconds before I was supposed to go up and preach. Because you leaned over and you know what you said to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. You can tell people what you said.
I said, come here, baby.
That's not what you said.
No, I just turned around. It was part of that whole moment that I turned around. I was like, your dad would be really proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. She said that to me. You know, sometimes you say things and it gets you right in the Adam's apple. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, geez. You know, because he would have loved every minute of this.
Well, that's just stuff that he was always such a good encourager.
Oh, very much. But he saw where it was going. I mean, he saw the trajectory. So
he loved stuff like that. And he loved to just be like, oh, Joe, look at this.
Yeah.
Stay humble, man.
Oh, yeah. I can hear it. Stay humble. Stay humble. Stay humble. I hear that all the time. And I hear his voice in my head. Stay humble. Stay humble. Abby, what's your takeaway? What?
Well, like we've talked about, I would do a few things different with food and drink. A footbridge to cross that little ditch.
Yeah, that's true.
Across the street. I was thinking, we've got so many talented guys in our church that would have whipped one of those up real quick.
True.
That's just a few little things I'd change. But overall, when you called the staff and elders up to the front of the stage, I'm going to try to get through this. I was just overwhelmed,
really?
Humbled. To be a tiny part of it. It was just so cool. And I was like, thanking God that, you know, we'll all be gone.
Yep.
And there will be a new team in place, hopefully, continuing to build the kingdom. And I was just grateful to be a tiny part.
Well, that is awesome, Abby. That is awesome.
This whole thing got a little bit more emotional.
I know,
but it was, if you'd been there, if you missed it, you missed out on something really cool. That event was really neat. And it was really overwhelming to see how many people, you know. Joe invited me to come up on stage and I pulled out my camera and took a picture because I was like, look at all these people. It's just
I haven't
crazy.
Seen that photograph.
I know. I've been hoarding it.
I need to.
I had to do it in like inconspicuous way because I
saw it on the recording. I went home and watched. I was like, oh, Kirsten's taking a photo.
We would expect nothing less.
I was like, exactly. Well, I think you had called Laura Lee and Lee and Pam Carter up. And in that whole like transition, I was like, this is my time. And so I pulled my camera out to take a picture just because it was such a neat perspective to stand up there and see, you know, not everyone was there. They couldn't be.
Right.
There's people that wanted to be there and couldn't. And it was just an overwhelming amount of gratitude, like she said, just to get to be a part of it and just to be, to stand there and go, wow, God, like when we've prayed and asked God to allow us to have a bigger impact on the kingdom in Northwest Arkansas, he heard us and he allowed it. And I think that that's what's so humbling is that, you know, when we ask for our territory to be expanded, that he said, okay, let's keep going. Yeah. There's still more work to be done. And to imagine a year from now, even, and 5 more years from now, like you thought about all those people that sat down 5 years when you asked them, you know, 5 years or less, I'm like, imagine 5 years from now. So it was just a really amazing thing to see everyone together and to worship together. That was my thing. We're outside. We were without walls. We could worship. We didn't have any, like, nothing was confining us. It was just a really neat experience. So,
well, if people want to see what that service looked like, I mean, we'll add the link because our team did a great job broadcasting this. That was a huge step for us to take that whole broadcast live out in the wild. They did a great job with that. And so
the park that we went to, for those of you who aren't from this area, our main campus, our first original campus is in Bella Vista.
Yeah, we don't have a main campus.
Well,
we have 2 equal campuses.
True, but it is our mailing address. So, and Central Services is here, but it's our original campus. And then way out west, about 20 minutes is where we planted the new campus, Highlands Campus. Well, about halfway in between, still in Bella Vista, there is a park and it's a field. It's where Bella Vista does their fireworks. And it's called the Loch Lomond Dam. And it's a big field with a softball field or baseball field and a dog park as well. And that's about it. There's not even a kids park there. It really is just this huge field. And they do several things there. They're going to have the corgi races coming up in October. They have the fireworks. There's just a few other events that they have out there because it is a larger area for Bella Vista. And when we were thinking, where could we fit everyone? That was between our 2 campuses. That was about it. And so it is just kind of in the middle of nowhere. There is a golf course across the street. We use part of the golf course for parking with permission. And I'm getting a weird look from you.
I'm just wondering where you're going with all this.
I'm just describing. It's just like this. It's like it's not close to anything. It's just kind of in the middle of nowhere, right off of a lake. And so there's not a whole lot going on.
So when I said we took the broadcast out in the wild.
Yeah. So it wasn't
You're describing the wild.
There was no cow tipping or anything like that.
Well, there was close enough for Casey's for a group of college kids to drive golf carts to.
And that Casey's is kind of, for those of us who live on a different side of town, that's kind of way out there. But yeah, it's still part of Bella Vista, but it's a little bit more remote.
But I thought they did a great job with the broadcast. And we'll put the link in the show notes. And so if anybody wants to see what it was like, I mean, I thought they did a good job capturing that. You know, speaking of video, one thing that just struck me, now she's giving me dirty looks.
I'm giving it back to him. He was giving me dirty looks earlier. I'm like, what?
Well, I was trying to figure out where you're going with that.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like,
this is why
out in the wild, out in the wild, the wilderness of Bella Vista.
It was the Wild West for all of us who live.
The Wild
on the east
has
side.
A golf course and a lake and a recreational lake and a softball field and a dog park and a Casey's down the road. It's the Wild. But anyway, I'm teasing.
Okay. You know, to the closest McDonald's, how far away is the closest McDonald's from there?
I have no idea.
See, there isn't one.
So.
So we're basing it on?
Well, I mean, everyone else in America knows McDonald's are everywhere, but not around here.
Where's one in Bella Vista?
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is right there. That doesn't even matter. What are we talking about here? No,
is there a McDonald's in Bella Vista?
That's technically Bentonville.
It is Bentonville.
But it feels like Bella Vista.
And then there's one in Missouri. Our town does not have a McDonald's.
Boom. But we have a Sonic, and what else do you need? So, hey, let me just say one thing, and okay, then we'll move on to the next section, because I can imagine that people are listening to this going, why am I listening to this right now? But anyway, I did want to make one more observation. Something that hit me. So when I was doing a bunch of research on the history of the church and just making sure that all my details were correct, somebody gave me a bunch of videos from years ago. And I don't have anything from like the first decade of the church, but I've got videos of when they were building the auditorium in 1985, 84, 86, somewhere there. And
how old on, were on you the, in 85?
Irrelevant. And on the...
I was, nine.
No, well, yeah. So quick somebody... math. What was cool though, here's where I'm going. Somebody walked around with a camera, and I'm sure it was one of those hold it on your shoulder VHS cameras, and they're filming the construction from groundbreaking all the way through completion. And the guy narrating, I don't know who it was, but was talking about it. And I'm going, I've been that guy. And then I watched another video of the first worship service in the new auditorium. And I could see you could feel the excitement in the room. And Don Evans, the preacher, was talking about it. And I'm going, I've said those things. And then I saw other videos of other groundbreakings, like when they did the groundbreaking in 2008, I believe, or 2009, with this third edition on the Reardon campus. And Ron Carter's up there talking about, I'm like, I've been that excited. And with the Highlands campus, I'm like, I've been all those things. And so here was kind of like not an epiphany, but just kind of moment is that people really haven't changed that much. Leaders haven't really changed that much. Church, at the end of the day, you know, what they were excited about back then is what we're excited about today. Movement, growth, God doing things, changed lives. You know, it looks different today than it did back then, but at the end, the excitement is the same. And that's something that I took away from this, that there's been a common thread in this church, that the things that we do for God's glory. We do it to make disciples. And I think that's been in the DNA since year one, and it's definitely in the DNA now. And just to see it kind of play out on video through the years, I thought, how awesome. And what I hope is 100 years from now, when they dig out old footage of Joe Williams walking around the Highlands campus and filming stuff and narrating and talking about stuff and bearing stained glass in the foundation of the building and Bibles underneath the pulpit, and they see all those videos. Like,
man, he was sentimental.
No, I think what I hope they'll say is, you know what? 50 years ago, the stuff that's important to us was important to them.
Yeah.
And how awesome would that be if that would be the case? I think it'd be a praise God moment.
It's getting strange out there.
Hey, this week on It's Getting Strange Out There, I've got a little different approach than what we've done the last couple of weeks. And I'll just remind our listening audience that Abby and Kirsten have absolutely no idea what I'm going to introduce here. You're going to get their blind reaction to it. And I think that kind of helps keeps it authentic and fresh. But the last few weeks, we've been talking about things that preachers have said. And of course, just in case it's your first time listening, you know, I think that false teaching comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and it doesn't always look like a man wearing a red cape and a pitchfork and, you know, what we might think a false teacher look like. They look a lot like us. But I want to talk about a little different way that maybe false teaching could potentially creep its way into the church, and should we be on guard for this stuff? So I don't have a clip to play. I'm just going to describe it, and I think I can describe it well. But the question today is not so much from a preaching, but in the worship service, could false teaching be introduced through worship? Now, let me set this up. A church not too long ago, the worship team, they decided to sing a song by Jelly Roll. And do you guys know who Jelly Roll is?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think I've ever heard of Jelly Roll.
He is a phenomenal musician, very popular. He's got Billboard hits in the last couple of years. He's had a really rough past, spent some time in jail. I wouldn't begin to tell you all of his songs, but, very, very popular. I think he came onto the scene through The Voice, didn't he? I think he got his start, his like public start on The Voice. You know, I could have some of those details wrong, but that's not really the point of why I'm bringing this up. And none of this that I'm going to say has anything to do with Jelly Roll, other than the fact that he was the one that wrote and sang the song that they sang in church. So this isn't anything about him.
As like a worship song?
Well, they sang it as a special. And I believe it was to introduce the pastor's message. And in full disclosure, I did not hear the sermon that followed this song. So I'll be honest, I have not taken the time to go farther than that. But really, that's not really what I wanted to kind of get at here. But Jelly Roll, a while back, released a song that says, "I Am Not Okay." Very popular song of his. And we're not going to play it here, obviously, but the song is what it is. It's a song that's kind of written about some of his own personal trauma and hard things about, hey, I'm not okay, but I'm going to be okay, and I know it's going to be okay. And when this song came out, there was a lot of people that said, hey, this is Jelly Roll's gospel song, because it kind of sounds like a gospel song. And it's not a gospel song. And as far as I know, I don't think Jelly Roll is walking with Jesus. Like, I mean, I'm in fairness, I don't know anything about this guy. Faith. I've heard enough of what he said. He doesn't strike me as somebody that's ready to go write Christian music or anything like that, but it's not a judgment. None of this is a judgment on him. But a church recently took this song and they made it a part of their worship service. And the worship team performed it. And in that context, it really makes you go, at a concert venue, Jelly Roll singing this about his past, I get it. But is this the right song to sing as a church song? Let me read the lyrics to you and then we'll talk about it, okay? Here's the lyrics. I am not okay. I'm barely getting by. I'm losing track of days and losing sleep at night. I am not okay. I'm just hanging on the rails. So if I say I'm fine, just know I learned to hide it well. Now, you know what? Let me just stop right there. You're like, hey, I think I could relate to people in church. Put on my mask, hide that, you know? Yeah, okay, I'm tracking with this now. He goes, I know I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life, but God knows, I know, when it's all said and done, I'm not okay, but it's going to be all right. It's not okay, but we're all going to be all right. Now, this has kind of got a positive message here. Hey, we all wear these masks. I'm not alone in this. We all got problems. I mean, that's kind of the song. Mm-hmm. He says, I woke up today. I almost stayed in bed. Had the devil on my back and voices in my head. Some days it ain't all bad. Some days it gets worse. Some days I swear I'm better off laying in the dirt. Okay, so now it kind of takes a little bit of a darker turn. He's kind of wrestling. Maybe it'd be better if I wasn't on this earth. Maybe, you know, there's a little bit of suicidal kind of tendency here, but then it turns positive again. Here's the next part. I know I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life, but God knows, I know, when it's all said and done, I'm not okay, but it's going to be all right. It's not okay, but we're going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I know one day we'll see the other side. Okay, now we're talking about heaven. The pain will wash away in a holy water tide. It's going to be all right. I've got to believe that's some kind of reference of cleansing, holiness, baptism maybe. I know I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life, but God knows, I know, when it's all said and done, I'm not okay, but it's going to be all right. It's not okay, but we're all going to be all right. I'm not okay, but it's going to be all right. Okay, those are the lyrics of the song. I've listened to it. It's a catchy tune. It's Jelly Roll style. I mean, it's not a bad song in its proper context, but let's talk about that song in a church context. Being put forth in front of the church, what message, and from a Christian in church, what message do you get from that song? I mean, do you guys have thoughts on that? Could there be some false doctrine, not from Jelly Roll, he didn't write this for church, but to put it in the context of church, could we be introducing some heresy?
The we're all. Like, that's the thing that, you know, it is problematic. The we're all going to be okay. If this were just from his perspective and he's saying that, I know, God knows, you know, I'm going to be okay. I'm struggling right now, but God knows I'm going to be okay because he's made a personal declaration of his belief in Jesus and, you know, he's saved. But the we're all going to be okay sounds like what we were talking about a couple days ago. The universalization.
Universalism. Yeah. Everybody's going to heaven. There is no hell.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great observation.
I would have liked to have heard it in the context of what the sermon was about. I've seen churches use secular songs in their service and tie it in as like an illustration or a story. You've used movie clips and stuff like that that aren't Christian in nature, and they make a point. But yes, if they're singing it as a worship song, there's a problem. If it's a special music and they're trying to use it as an example, or as like I said, like a illustration, there might have been a way to tie it in and explain like, hey.
Yeah. Now, I think in all fairness to this church, because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not really trying to paint a bad spotlight on the church. I'm just talking about this incident.
And they might not be the only church that have used it.
No, and it's pretty commonplace these days for churches to use secular music as part of their worship and as part of like introducing sermons. I think in this context, I believe what I watched, it appeared to me that it was a guy on the worship team who came out and sang it as a special number.
Yeah.
So I can't really say for sure if the church was singing with him or not, because the camera was just right tight on his face and I didn't see in the crowd, but it was in church. It was at the tail end of what would have been the worship set, you know? And so my guess is in full context, they were done worshiping. This song he sang and the preacher came out and talked.
Yeah.
And I'm confident I'm confident it tied into the message.
I feel like we got half a story.
Think you got half a story?
Well, I've been to a church before where the sermon was really good. It was a biblical sermon. And then during the like offering time, they played a secular song. As they said, we're going to pass the offering baskets and we want to ask you to take your phone out and call someone and like speak a word of encouragement to someone who is that God's laid on your heart. And it tied in with the sermon. So they played the, I just call to say I love you.
Yeah.
And it tied in and it made sense. And it was a secular song that we heard on the radio. And we know that, is that Lionel Richie? I can't remember who sings that.
Stevie Wonder?
Stevie Wonder? Okay. Stevie Wonder?
Let's fact check.
Okay,
that.
Fact check me, please. We're in that whole season of fact checking right now. But it made sense in the moment. And I didn't think it was progressive Christianity because they played that song over the speaker.
Stevie
Wonder. Good old Stevie Wonder. It tied in. It tied in. But it wasn't overly, is there such a thing? It wasn't overly
that was just, I know what you're talking about. That was just a short little, like blurb, the chorus.
Yeah.
This entire song was sung at a church. Let me tell you the part that stands out to me out of the context of the worship service. I don't have a problem with this song. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a problem with Jelly Roll. I don't even know Jelly Roll.
Roll's getting jelly rolled right
I don't listen to his name. My first thought is, did you hear that song by Jelly Roll? My first thought, what's a Jelly Roll? And,
wait, are you making a Jelly Roll?
No, but you know, Jelly Roll. Did somebody say Jelly Roll?
Aren't those Swiss rolls?
So let me be very clear. This is not against him. My challenge is to bring these lyrics and this message into the church. It's the message. So let's talk about the message. He says, I'm barely getting by. I'm not okay, but it's going to be. Now, there's a positive message there. I want everybody in our church to know, listen, there is a hope. There's a future. I think God wants his best for you. I think God promises to take care of you. God, you know, but what does the Bible say? Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all the, there's responsibility on our end. And I think what I'm struggling with is there's a broad assumption that I don't have to do anything. I'll just be okay. And here's where the song turns to me. And I think where we might be introduced, this is where this church might be introducing a concept that could lead to a false doctrine. And I think this is what we got to be very, very careful with and have our antennas up. He says this, I know one day we'll see the other side. That's a truth. Every single person has got a date with God in the future. The Bible speaks very clearly about judgment day. This life is not the end. Everyone passes through this death unless the Lord would return. Everyone will see the other side, but then he makes this blanket statement. Again, this is Jelly Roll's words, not the church words, but it's brought into the church. This is the message that was sung in church that day. The pain will wash away. in a holy water tide, and we all gonna be all right. I'm sorry, we're all not gonna be all right. That's the reality of why we need Jesus today. Because it can be all right, and every single person that puts their faith in Jesus is gonna be all right, ultimately.
And maybe that was the preacher's sermon that day.
Well, I don't know. I didn't listen to it. But listen, I don't want to pull this too far out of the context and like, well, the preacher brought it all back together. Maybe he did, mm-hmm. and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But let's look at this song. Can you imagine inviting somebody to sing these kind of things and trying to send this message? Hey, we're all going to see the other side, and we all know it's going to be all right. Now, if you're talking to a whole room with 100% Christians, then maybe you could get away with that. But let's take for granted, even within the church, you know, even Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter my kingdom. You know, so I just struggle with this a little bit. I think that maybe this is an area that as Christians, we should be a little bit more in tune with about what are we actually singing. And I would struggle if, let's say John wanted to come to me and said, hey, I'm going to sing this Jelly Roll song. Of course, I know John so well, this would never happen. But I want to sing this Jelly Roll song. And of course, I'd be like, no, but let me see the lyrics. And if these were the lyrics he said to me, gave to me, I would shut that down because I don't want to inadvertently use something that's popular in culture, but accidentally or inadvertently introduce heresy into. So I think this song in the church context is heresy because... Yeah, I do believe that if you put your faith in Jesus, it's all going to be all right. But to sing a song and encourage your church to applaud this message that, hey, we're all going to see the other side and we all are going to be all right, that's universalism. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the most popular progressive Christianity teachings out there right now. Mm-hmm. Universal salvation. No one goes to hell. We're all going to be all right. And so outside of the church, this song rolls off my back. Mm-hmm. Inside the church, I'm like, no, there's some overtones of universalism. And I'm telling you, what does the Bible say about our enemy, the devil? He is crafty. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
The Bible tells us, be aware of the enemy's schemes. Mm-hmm. And I would not put it past our enemy to subtly slip into the church a popular song and introduce some universalism into your thinking. And then that would create problems down the road. Now, there's a lot of people that would hear this and go, you're being way too hardcore. Am I? What do you guys think? You feel free to email us and tell me, am I being too hardcore about something like this? I don't know. But I don't believe I am. But he talks about how God knows and it's going to be all right. And we're going to get the other side and we're all going to be all right. And I'm sorry, as I study God's word, that's not what it says. Again, outside the church, whatever. Inside the church and introducing this as something we're promoting, it causes me a lot of pause for all the reasons I've just said. So anyway, those are my thoughts on a little different.
You than want what us to give everyone your phone number to text you or just the email?
No, I think you can email.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? Do you agree that even through the worship, that something like this could introduce false doctrine into the church subtly?
Well, I definitely think you have to scrutinize anything that you let happen in the church. I guess I struggle with the fact that you'd say that it's okay outside of the church, but not okay inside the church.
That's exactly what I intended to say.
I know, but I struggle with that because then I'm saying, so the message is okay for our teenagers to hear at school and in the car. Of course, then we don't want to give them mixed messages and then hear it at church too. But I do think that it's one of those things that I struggle with understanding what is okay outside the church.
Right.
Is it a message? It's still universalism outside the church walls because the people are the church.
Well, that I agree with you. What you're saying, you and I have had many of those conversations. We joked about on the podcast a few weeks ago when Jesse's Mom Has Got It Going On came on the radio And we're all singing like, hold
don't
on.
Don't do this to
whoa,
them again.
Hold on a minute. Like, what?
As soon as you said that, they started singing it.
What are we saying? And the last thing I wanted my boys to hear me singing without thinking is Jesse's mom has got it going on. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I caught myself in that. So yes, scrutinize what we allow ourselves to sing. But I guess what I was trying to say, I want to be super clear on this. I don't know anything about Jelly Roll's faith. My assumption is he's writing this about his past
and what
he got through. And now on this side, he's saying it's going to be okay. He's not writing this, I don't think, from a perspective of faith or Christianity. I don't know. His faith is between him and the Lord. I don't think when he wrote this song, he was thinking, man, they're going to use that in church one day, and my song is going to bless a lot of people with their walk with Jesus. That's why I say, outside of the church, it rolls off my back. It's just another song in a secular world.
If anyone knows Jelly Roll, can you please let them know we're trying to get a hold of him?
No,
we'd like to talk to him.
We're not trying to get a hold of him, but I would talk to him.
We'll ask him about the meaning of
this. But what I'm saying is, this is not a knock on him.
Right.
He's just writing a song that's important to him. And I don't think he ever thought that it would ever be a part of a church service.
Right.
So that's what I said. Hey, outside the church, it just rolls. It's no different than another song to me outside the church. But no, I am concerned that the songs that we do sing and what we find, do I want to be singing things in my own private life, driving the car? I sing when I'm in the car. And, you know, I want to be singing songs that promote universalism or somehow subtly soften my convictions about the end of time and what the Bible? So no, the answer, I agree with what you're saying, Kirsten. I guess what I'm saying is outside the church, just no song, but it takes on a whole different level for me if we as a church family promote a song and use it to elevate some truth when the truth itself in the song is soft universalism. And I think that's it's heresy. And so that's what I'm saying. So we don't have to dwell on it any longer, but I think it's been a good, healthy discussion. I'd love to know your thoughts on this stuff. Feel free to email us at our website. That will be the link to our link to our email, rather. It's going to be in the show notes. But yeah, that's what struck me this week is I was just one of the things that just hit me pretty hard. I thought, no, it's not a sermon. It's not a preacher. And it's a little bit more subtle. But I think it's in the subtleness is when the enemy does some of his most damage. Get us to not watch something that we should be watching.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood. Not a car show.